WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Here it is Wednesday, and we're finally going to hear the sermon I just preached on this past Sunday. And it's Wednesday. That also means Bible study tonight, and we'd love to see you. We are at Island Community Church. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We're in Luke chapter 10 tonight, 6 o'clock. You are invited. We're looking forward to seeing you. And again, our sermon here today is Priority Mail, the Dead Church at Sardis. Back in this series again, snooping into these pastors' offices and reading these letters they got from the Lord. Today is a scathing one to a pastor of the church in a town called Sardis that Jesus himself calls a dead church. So that's where we're at. This will play today and tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday. Looking forward to seeing you at Island tonight. If you can't make it, you can watch us live on Facebook, too. That feed will kick off live right at 6 o'clock, Island Community Church, if you are a Facebook kind of person. More info on me, I'm available, Paul, at WGODradio.com. It's the best way to get a hold of me. Okay, let's get into the Word of God now. And again, if it's Wednesday evening, that means it's 5:30. That means you guys still got 25 minutes to get to Island to take part in our Bible study. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed by spending time in the Word of God. Priority Mail. Sardis is where we're at today. We're going to travel about 30 miles southeast from Thyatira here today, home of the corrupt church, to the city of Sardis. We looked at that other church when we started this series here. We're going to a church today that historians remember, unfortunately, as the dead church. We're in the middle again of this series, Priority Mail. We're reading somebody else's mail. We're actually breaking into this pastor's office. We're going on his desk, and we're finding a letter there addressed to the pastor, dictated by the Son of God to the pastor of the church of. And that's what we've been looking at. Boy, imagine that, Gene, as we get the mail out. Pastor Paul Esposito, 1 Gold Street, Heaven. Right, you get the mail that day. Nah, Gene, you can get the mail today. Priority Mail. What would it look like? What would be in it? Well, we have the... Well, it'd be embarrassing for these guys. It's 2,000 years later, and we're still reading this dude's mail. Especially today's pastor. Today's letter went to the pastor of a dead church. No one wants to be the member of a dead church. Unless, of course, you're dead. And you're just going through the motions. And you don't give a rip either about God or his kingdom or about righteousness. If that's you, then being in a dead church is no big deal to you. What would you care? How would you even notice if you were in a dead church? How would you notice? By leaving here feeling the same way as when you got in? There's one way. This is a feel-good church.
Am I right? The word gets preached as much as you can dislike me for it. Luckily, I don't have that. Thank God I don't have that problem here. You hear what he says because God cares about you. And this is my mission here as pastor, is to have all of you as spiritual giants where your face is on Satan's bulletin board down there in hell. Sorry. Well, some of you couldn't get a used demon to chase you. You want to be on his bulletin board. I got into a lively, lovely discussion with a family member once. And I pointed out to her that her mainline beloved Christian denomination was firing pastors that believed marriage was between a man and a woman. If you believe that in this mainstream, second largest denomination of the Christian faith, they're firing them, showing them the door. That mainline beloved denomination, how's this for a camp meeting weekend? The first day you meet, you swear off Israel and say, I want nothing to do with Israel. And then the second day of the meeting, you ordain homosexuals to be pastors. Now, that's what I call a camp meeting. Ways to know you're in a dead church, part one. When the church glorifies sin. Regardless, you're sticking a thumb in God's eye. That's one of the ways to know you're in a dead church. Though we'll get to the solutions once the Son of God identifies the problem. Oh, yeah, the other thing that that church did is they sold all of their stock in their funds from any Jewish company, like Caterpillar, and there's others I can't remember. That's what they did for a camp meeting weekend. Now, when confronted with that evidence, my family member decided it was easier to hate me than to remove their membership from a dead church. Now, that's her choice, and yours as well, if you find yourself there. Willingly stay in a dead church because they have a good band. Or because they have a good worship team. Or because they have a great ladies group. Or a youth group. Or would you rather go somewhere where the Holy Spirit is moving each and every week? Praise God. And that, by the way, is evident by changed lives. Right, John? So what would you do if you found yourself in a dead church? Now let's sneak into the pastor's office here in Sardis. Let's read his letter, and let's see how this church went down in history as being the dead church. We're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 3, verse 1, last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, Revelation 3:1. Now remember, angel here is the word angelos. Angelos is messenger. Messenger is me, the messenger at the church, the one that God has installed to give you his message, the pastor, not an invisible angel. Now to the pastor of this church in Sardis. Now Jesus is dictating a letter. John is writing it. With his rolling writer. Did I say that right? All right. Rolling writer. Is that better? See, I can do that. These things, says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. That you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, it's not me that calls the church dead. The Son of God says the church is dead. Not me. I'm just reading it to you. 2,000 years later, Jesus calls this church dead as a doornail. Once again, he starts this letter with a description of himself. Every one of these churches. Now remember, there was a lot more than seven churches in the year one. But seven is a number in Revelation that represents perfection or a total number. Seven. So when you see he is the one that has the seven spirits of God, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit, that there's, it's a perfection, the number of perfection. And the seven stars, there's more than seven pastors. He's saying he holds all of the pastors. Because that's what we read what the stars is. If you go back to the last verse of chapter 1, he says the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. So we know what that means. Okay. Thus says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Thus says the one who personally, now this is me reading, who personally sent the Holy Spirit here to earth to begin his ministry on the day of Pentecost. Thus says the one who holds the pastors in his very hands. Thus says the Son of God. Okay, next we see that the people in this church are deceived. They think that they're okay, but they're not. They think that they are alive, but they're not. See, you're not alive because of the amount of people that come to your church. You're alive by the Holy Spirit, comfortable to move here and change your lives and make you a better person when you walk out of these doors. It makes you hate sin more and love it. Hate sin more and love him more. Or I should say, it makes you sin less and love him more. The Holy Spirit will change your life and it'll transform you from glory to glory into the image of his Son. That's how you know you're in a live church. How many of you people here go home on a Sunday feeling good? God, Carol, don't we say it every week? I figured I'm being redundant to her. Oh, man, what a great service. And I realize I say that every week of my life. I've been here 10 years. I can't recall a bad service in 10 years. I can't. Every week is a great week. God does great work every week. Let me remind you to guard that too. Guard that with your life. Don't let anyone snatch that away from what we have going here at this church, because God's doing a great work here at this church. We have to watch over that. He does his share. He watches over the things that we can't see. You and I have to watch over the things that we can see. Things right here in our backyard. Let me move on. Again, I said, this church, they think that they're okay, but they're not. These things, now I'm out of the King James. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So we said they've got a name that they live. In other words, this church in Sardis had a killer, let's call it a reputation, that they were alive. I can see it now. Come to the first church of the local heretic, where our worship is alive. Have you ever seen the commercials on TV? Where they spend more money on a 30-second commercial than our budget is for a year of feeding people that don't have a loaf of bread. We read your palms here. We tell you what you want to hear. I could fill this church in a New York minute if I said that kind of muck out of this pulpit. You see, here in Sardis, this church had the reputation that everything is great here and fantastic. And the people there think everything is okay because attendance is way up and finances are great. And Jesus said, you've got a name that you're alive and you're dead. And he prefaced this statement with, I know your works, but that's not in a good way. Like with the church at Ephesus, he says, I know your works, and then he gives them good things. Here he says, I know your works, and it's not good he's talking about. With this church, he's turning around what the people thought was a positive into a stinging rebuke. And as I look at this church, it seems to me that they're like the only ones that don't have a commendation here. With all seven of these churches, he starts by telling them what they're doing right. And all the good things that they're doing right. Here, there's nothing here. They're not doing anything right. Okay, verse 2. New American Standard, verse 2. The first two words he says to the dead church, wake up! And strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your works. The New American Standard here says, I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. This is the word of Christ to the dead church today. Wake up! You're in a dead church, people. Wake up! And you could find yourself in any one of these seven churches across America. That's why this is a supernatural number. It's not just seven, and it's not just back then. You can find yourself in a dead church today. Or a church doing it right. Or a loveless church that left their first love. Church that forgot about him. Forgot about how they ended up in that church. Forgot about their salvation. Forgot about who died for them on the cross. You could find yourself in a lukewarm church. We'll get to that. You could find yourself in a great church like Philadelphia. That'll be next week's sermon. A church he's got no wrong, only good. But his word to this church, wake up, people. You're sleepwalking. Wake up. You're sleepwalking through your faith. That's not good enough. Matter of fact, that kind of faith is no faith at all. It's dead. And a dead faith is no faith at all. Wake up or else. Figure out what you're doing right and build on it. What are you doing right? Where are you lacking? Why are you dead? Let's fix these problems here today. Let's find out why you're dead and fix it and make it right. Verse 3. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. All right, now here comes the threat to the pastor of this church. Keep reading. Therefore, if you will not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Thieves steal valuables. They don't steal junk. So what's the remedy for a dead church? Number one, we used to have a dog in here. I'd drive that dog crazy, a C&I dog. I'll say it nicely. The remedy, first remedy, wake up. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Look around you. Time is short. It's time to stop playing church. And even if it's just you, pastor, remember, he wrote this to a pastor. Even if it's just you, if you wake up and scare away all the sleepers that are out here in the congregation. Wake up, and God will send others like you. You're not the only one. Remember, that's what God said to Elijah. Elijah goes, I'm the only one left that's awake. God says, no, you're not, buddy boy. I've reserved 7,000 people just like you who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one. So he's right, at least starting with the pastor, wake up. If no one else wants to wake up, that's on them. Starting with him. You people cannot sleep through a 45-minute sermon with me. If so, then we go to this. You ain't right. You ain't sleeping, people. I have my ways. Wake up. Look around you. The government's trying to give you identifying marks in order to buy or sell. Are you dead or alive? Smell the coffee. The government has just armed 80,000 new Internal Revenue Service agents. Are you dead or alive? Do you not give a rip about that? Are you dead or alive? Just wait until preaching the word is declared to be hate speech. Now, where Danny and I work, my other job is at a radio station. And when I get to put folders like Michael Youssef and David Jeremiah, when I get into their account, they have folders that say Canada on them. You know what that means? They're not allowed to talk about sin in Canada. So they have special programs that the audio technician has taken out all references to sin when the program plays in Canada. We don't want to hurt your pee wings if you live in Canada. That's where we're going here in this country. And Jesus is trying to warn you to wake up. If you're dead and oblivious to that, wake up. Smell the coffee. We're near the end of the age now. How will you know that? When this world's full of COVID, that's how you'll know. And when the government tries to force you to have an identifying mark to buy or sell, these are the signs that Jesus gave you that you will know we're living at the end of the age when the government forces you to receive something to buy or sell. And when there's droughts everywhere and famines. Number two, I said number one was wake up. Number two, quit just going through the motions. Reminds me how we used to pray over dinner when I was a kid. You're going to pray over dinner and you'll like it. God is great, God is good, and we thank him for this food. Amen. We did that for 15 years at our house. Now, that is the very definition of going through the motions. Or my mother's prayer. Oh, bless this food to our use and us to thy service. I still remember it 59 years later. I still remember it. I still remember it. Quit going through the motions. Romans 13:11, it says, knowing that it's a high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Third remedy, remember. Remember how it used to be. Back in the Old Testament, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. Let's go back to where your stones of remembrance are. Go back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Go on back to there and get that back. Get back to remember how it used to be. When you were first saved, get that back. It's only natural. That's why God told them to put stones up. Because we are forgetful creatures. And we forget, we tend to forget all that God has done for us in our life. That's why we take communion every month. That's why Catholics take it every week. Bless their heart. Lest we forget all that Jesus has done for us.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Loveworth Finding Ministries, here's pastor, teacher, and author Dr. Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Now, don't get the word humanist and humanitarianism confused. The humanists are a small cadre of highly intellectual and highly motivated persons who are steering this world toward a one-world government. The Humanist magazine said back as far as 1966 this, quote, "Internationally, what do the humanists propose? Nationalism, rooted as it is in arbitrary geographical units, must be superseded by a globalism based on the oneness of man. There must be a worldwide organization to which national sovereignty could be relinquished in all international affairs. Let our boys fight under the banner of the UN, no longer under the command of American commanders. There's coming an enforcer in this world one of these days that's going to turn this world into a worldwide system, the kingdom of Babylon, the kingdom of Antichrist."
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Leads for